Soon? I guess it's already here. I don't guess it's coming soon. All right, I'm glad to be here. How many guys are glad to be here? How many girls are glad to be here? All right, don't you like that? All right, I'm glad I'm here. You know, I tell you how much I really love the church, and I'm really blessed by this church and being here all these years. It's a lot of fun. I love being here, but I was here too much this week. All right, we did our fireworks booth, and it was we're tired. All right, we're tired. I heard this morning. I think they sold about $22,000 worth of fireworks, and so that's going to support a lot of ministries in our church. And so I appreciate all those that served, and all those that worked, and all those that helped. And so I want to say thank you. But I do. I love the church. I love being here, and I love what God is doing. And so we're going to have a good time this morning. Last week, I kind of set the stage. God had, I am really looking, one of my favorite programs in the church, one of my favorite, I don't want to call it a program, events in the church, is Vacation Bible School. I have loved Vacation Bible School since I was a child, when I was dragged to Vacation Bible School. Anybody ever been dragged to VBS? All right. So I'm not the only one that was ever dragged to VBS, all right? And I've always, and there's a special thing when I came to this church and we started Vacation Bible School. Martha was our director, and we've gone on through, you know, various, Linda was a director. We went through several directors, and now Jacob and Linda's assisting Jacob. And VBS is a special time. So I wanted to kind of prepare for VBS because I expect many of you to be our helpers, all right? You get the hint? I wanted you to be our helpers during VBS, and since it's going to be on Daniel, I thought I would preach on Daniel. So when you go, well, I don't know Daniel, you don't have an excuse. You're going to know Daniel when you get done, all right? By the time it starts VBS, you will know Daniel. And that was my vision, and that's what God had laid on my heart, to share this message with you. But then what I found out was that Friday before I started this series, our Supreme Court issued a ruling that challenged my faith, that challenged my virtues and my values. And God had set this series of messages up to not only speak to Vacation Bible School, but speak to what we as Christians and how we as people of faith and how we as people with different values than many of the culture we face today, how can we respond? And so I kind of shared that last week, and I'm going to encourage you, if you weren't here last week, go back on the internet and listen to that message from last week. I'm going to encourage you. It's on the internet, centerpointfbc.com. Is it on the internet? It will be on the internet shortly. So pick it up and just go back to our Centerpoint FBC, pick it up and just listen to the message, because we talked about it. Sometimes we're going to stand out. Sometimes we're going to stand out and be different. You know, it's kind of like that sore thumb. You sit there and you look at it. You know, it's always standing out. Well, sometimes we as Christians are going to stand out because of our values, because of our beliefs. And so I encourage you to look at that one and look that up. This morning, I want to talk about standing up. Now, I want to kind of preface this message. This message is one that scares me. All right. This message is one that kind of, it's like, I got to make sure I preach this one very carefully, very wisely. And sometimes I'm not very wise, so you got to bear with me. Because this morning I want to talk about we need to stand up. What I'm saying is this: sometimes we need to have some confrontations. Now, I am not one who seeks confrontation. I have never been afraid of confrontation, but I don't seek it. I will gladly step up when I have to. I remember one time, one of the pastors in our association, we used to get what were called summer workers. These were college kids from all over the United States that would come to our church and help. And so they would come, and some of you might remember, they did youth VBS and backyard Bible clubs for us, and they did various things. I got a call from a fellow pastor and one of the old senior pastors in our area. He goes, one of the young ladies is 21 years old, and there was a man separated from his wife, his third wife, who was in his late 30s, following this 21-year-old girl from church to church. Had his hair bleached white, spiked up, and he's following this 21-year-old girl, separated from his third wife. Well, you ain't going to do that in my church. You're not going to pursue a 21-year-old girl when you're still married to somebody else. When you're trying to be something you ain't. And so guess what I did? I had a meeting with him. All set up. We knew what was going to happen. My daughters made sure the worker was not in the area when the guy came in. The guy came in. Somebody met him out in the parking lot, took him into a room. We were meeting in the school. And I just told him, you know, I can't stop you from seeing this young lady. But while you're in my church and while she's in my church, you ain't going to see this young lady. You're not going to come to every service because she's there. Because you're not there for God. You're there to pursue this young lady. And so I had a confrontation with him. I didn't look for it, but I'm not afraid of it. I was sad because other churches didn't do that. See, some of you here, most of you here, are probably on the extreme. You're a little more passive. You know, confrontation, you know, can't we just all get along, right? You know, can't we just all just, you know, can't we just you know, live and let live, and we just kind of, you know, if it's not bothering me, if it doesn't affect me, you know, and there's many of us that are passive. You know, I'm not afraid of you, but I want to tell you, I'm going to challenge you this morning. But there's the other group that are a little more aggressive. And maybe you take a message like this morning's message, and it's like loading your gun. Man, I'm throwing some shotgun shells in there. It's like, who am I going to go shoot next? I got to straighten all these Christians out. I got to go out there and straighten the world out. I got to tell them, turn or burn, you know? And you'll take a message like this morning and think it's your job to straighten everybody out, to fix the whole world, and just tell them where they're going. And they got to get it right. That's what this scares me in this message. So I put it this way. So I begin with this. There's two ways to deal with this. And there's two extremes. If you look at your outline there, I encourage you to get it out of your worship folder. There's two extremes. The first extremes are those who are unwilling to confront. Yes, I'm sorry, I didn't put that there. The right way, the right time, for the right reasons. All right, if you want to fill those first three blanks in. The right way, for the right time, at the right reason. And we're going to develop that this morning. You got to stand up in the right way, at the right time, for the right reasons. But there's two ways that we confront, two extremes. One is those who are unwilling to confront. And I tell you, I think that's most of us. Well, wait, most of you, because I'm not too afraid of it. I don't like it. I'm not going to pursue it, but I'm going to do what I need to do. Somebody the other day was asking me, they're in a relationship with an individual, and it's not going well, and she kept asking, I'm sitting out there with the fireworks booth, and she kept asking, well, what do you think? And I told her, you don't want to know what I think. I did. I told her, you don't want to know what I think. Because she went on telling me the story, and I'm going, he's a loser. Lose him. Now, if you really want to know what I think, it's not, you know. Some of us are unwilling. We don't want to live and let live. It's okay for them. It's just not okay for me. If it's not bothering me, you know, it's what they choose. We're just unwilling to approach a situation that might need approaching, that might need some wisdom, that maybe even God has laid on our heart to say something about. Yeah. Maybe you're a parent with a child that's making some unwise decisions. You know, and you don't want to push so hard that they run away and that they go the other way, and yet you know you need to say something, and you just, how do you? You know, maybe it's a marriage relationship and it's struggling right now, and it's just a turmoil time right now, and you know you need to say, you know, the harsh words or some unforgiveness, or you know you need to say it, but how do you say it? How do you do it? You're just unwilling to, you know. Maybe there's a friend who's making some unwise sexual decisions, and you know, I can remember when I worked at the movie theater, one of the young ladies, it was her third abortion. This is 1975. And I was sharing with her. You know? And she was afraid because the doctor was telling her, this is your third one and you might not ever have children after this. And I was sharing with her. You know? And so sometimes, you know, how do we do that? You know, we're unwilling. But the other extreme is, I put it this way, some confront unlovingly. Some confront unlovingly. I mean, it's like, load my shotgun up, click, click, who's in Target now? You know, I'm right, they're wrong, and I got to get them straightened out. You know, I'm going to fix the situation. I know what needs to be done. I know how they should do this. I know what they should do. If they just do what I tell them to do, just listen to what I'm saying. Anybody here? Anybody? Yeah. You'll see this. How many people have Facebook? How many people have Facebook? Anybody got Facebook pages? All right, man. You guys, you ever see that kind of stuff on Facebook? They just load their gun up and they're just shooting everybody. You shouldn't do the... why are you doing... They're just shooting everybody. Dude, I mean, come on. Anybody see those on their Facebook pages? You know? No relationship. No context for what's going on. No understanding about that person's situation or circumstances. They're just loaded up and ready to fire. You know? And so there's some who are unlovingly... confront, and we need to be aware of this. So how do we do this? And I think Daniel has a great experience here. Daniel, well, if you were here last week, I kind of told you about this King Nebuchadnezzar. Anybody was here last? Remember we talked about this king? Not a really nice guy. Matter of fact, he was really an evil dude, okay? He was an evil guy who conquered the world, destroyed the city of Jerusalem, stole all the religious relics, stole and kidnapped all the young men that were in the town. He was just destroying, burning everything, conquering the world. He was a man who was evil. Now, I want you to notice something. He was an evil man, but guess what? God still talked to him. Did you know that? God was still trying to talk to this guy who was out destroying his people and his world. God had a message for this guy. And so he has a dream. Look at what it says here, Daniel chapter 4, 4 through 5. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, content and prosperous. I'm doing well. I'm at peace. I got my conquered world. I got my beautiful palace. I've got it made. I am living the life of Riley, whatever that meant. I still don't know what that means. You know, I'm living the good life. I'm prosperous. I'm content. I had a dream that made me afraid. And something happened. I'm living this life and things are going smooth and things are going great. And then something happened. I had this dream. And as I was lying in bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. I had this crazy dream. This dream freaked me out. Anybody ever been like that? Life's going good. Life's going great. Maybe you're not following God. Maybe you're not where God wants you to be. And all of a sudden, something just freaked you out. Something just messed you up. It's like, what happened? All of a sudden, the world just crashed. Anybody ever had things going smooth? All of a sudden, the things just crash in on you. You know, maybe God's trying to say something. Maybe God's trying to move. And all of a sudden, this just crashes in on this king. I'm content. I'm happy. I'm prosperous. I got my world. Everything. And he has this dream of a tree that's prosperous, this tree that's huge, birds living in it, tree just growing everywhere, this monster tree. And he has this dream of this tree, and somebody says, we're going to cut this tree down, a growing, prosperous tree. We're going to cut this tree down. This king has this dream of this tree that's going to be cut down. And so he doesn't know what it means. So he calls all his magicians in. And he starts asking them, what does my dream mean? And he explains the dream. And now, depending on what translation you have, they have two reasons. They struggle with it as they try to interpret this. Did they know what the dream meant and they didn't want to tell the king? Because, you know, if the king don't like the news, guess what happens to the news bearer? You know, I didn't like that news, so let me have your head on a platter. You know, it's Nebuchadnezzar, so I don't like that news. You know, we got that fiery furnace over there. It's doing pretty good. We're not going to cook pizza today. We're going to cook you. Yeah. So we don't know, were they afraid to tell the king? You know, like us sometimes? You know, we're afraid to tell somebody something. It's like, do I really, that confrontation? So they didn't know. Or maybe they didn't. Maybe they had no idea what the dream was. You know, so there's kind of understanding here. Maybe they had no idea, but they couldn't tell what the dream was. Excuse me. So he sends for Daniel. Now, last week we started the lesson. That's why you got to go back and listen to last week's sermon. Daniel's probably somewhere in the age of 14, 15 years old. All right? They kidnapped him, brought him from Jerusalem all the way over to Babylon. They're training him in all the things. So it's been a several decades. And Daniel, remember, Daniel was prosperous. God had blessed Daniel. Now look at what it says here. Daniel chapter 4, verse 9. Oh, Belshazzar, remember they changed his name? Just in case you weren't here last week, this is Daniel. They changed his name. Belshazzar, chief of the musicians. Daniel's kind of moved up, hasn't he? He is the chief of the magicians. Because I know that the spirit of the holy gods, I kind of thought that's interesting. He still hasn't settled on one God. God's still talking to a guy that not following him. You know God speaks to everybody? We just got to listen. Our challenge, and this is what we're seeing in this story, the challenge was for Daniel to get to Nebuchadnezzar to listen to God. That's what our challenge is. Our challenge isn't to straighten people out. Our challenge is to get people to listen to God. Isn't that it? Listen to God. It's in you. And that no mystery is too difficult for you. Tell me the vision of my dream that I saw and their interpretation. And he goes on and describes that vision. He's saying, listen, you're the chief. Daniel had climbed up. Daniel had become prosperous himself. Daniel was recognized as somebody who had contact with God. Now, should we be that as Christians today? We talked about standing out last week, right? We should stand out. We are different than the world. Our values, our worldview, we're different. We're going to stand out. But when we stand out, when those who are in the world get messed up, guess who they go to? They don't go to their messed up friends, do they? They don't go ask their messed up friend, hey, I got this, why do I do? They don't go ask their messed up friends. They go ask us who have different values. Am I right? How many of us have friends like that? You know, they don't ask the ones who messed up, I'm already messed up and you're messed up, what are we going to do? They go to somebody that's kind of got things together. Yeah. And so the king goes to somebody who's got it together. You know, Daniel, Belshazzar, what's this dreaming? You have contact with God. You ever find that? People get their lives all messed up. They want to talk to God, don't they? I loved it. I mean, you know, we had those two planes fly into the World Trade Center. Congress all goes out on the steps. God bless America. Half of them don't even know who God is. But they know where to go. See, even those in the world know you got to go to God. He knew that. And so he went to God. So he went to Belshazzar. He went to Daniel. Daniel, what am I going to do? Now I want you to hear what Daniel said. Look at verse 19. He had told, but just so you get a picture, those verses in between, Nebuchadnezzar is telling his dream to Daniel. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was dismayed. Now, I circled that for myself. It's like, what do I do? Because Daniel knew what the dream meant. That's what's interesting to me. It's not hard to figure out the dream. Here's a king who's prosperous. Here's a king who's conquered the world. Here's a king who's doing everything great. I'm having a great life. I'm living it up. And he sees a dream of a tree that's having a good life. He sees a dream of a tree that's doing well. It didn't take a genius to figure this out. All right? So Daniel's dismayed. I don't think he's dismayed by the dream. I think he's dismayed as to, what am I going to do? How do I handle this situation? You ever feel that when you're in a confrontation? You know, when you got to say something? How am I supposed to handle this? I don't know. You know, anybody ever raise kids? That happens a lot when you're raising kids. Yeah. I don't care how old they are. My kids aren't in my house anymore. I think this is one thing they should tell you when you get married and when you start having kids. They always say, well, you know, you got them till they're 18 years old. Like when they turn 18, they disappear. I'm going to tell you something. When they turn 18, they get harder to raise. How many agree? Raise your hand. All right. Amen. I see that. You know, we all think it's going to turn around at 18. It don't turn around. Yeah. They're kids. I tell my kids all the time, I'll tell you, and my kids were sitting here, I don't want to be my kids' friends. I'm going to be a parent. And I tell my kids, even when I went up to Washington, I tell my daughter, I even told my son-in-law, I still spank them. I don't care how old you are. Jeremiah came back from basic training and was smarting off. I took him down. I can't do that anymore. You know? But see, we burden for them. You know? But we're dismayed. How do I deal with this, God? How do I deal with this marriage? How do I deal with this child? How do I deal with this friend? How do I deal with this family man? How do I deal with this work situation? How do I deal with this school? I'm dismayed, God. I got to say something. I remember when I was sitting in a Christian college, and the teacher talked about, this is 1970s, okay, and he's talking about legalizing marijuana. It was a youth psychology class, psychology for youth. Great class. I stood up in the middle of the class and said, no way! I said, you get 50,000 deaths by alcohol and you want to legalize marijuana? This is one thing, you know, Jerry Brown, I'm not a big supporter of Jerry Brown, but he's a good guy, all right? He's been our governor. He said, we don't want to legalize marijuana here. We want a good workforce. That's what he said. I thought, that's good. You know? Sometimes we got to stand up. So, Dad, I'm dismayed for a while. For a while. Do you get that? I'm dismayed for a while. And his thoughts alarmed him. What am I going to do? How do I handle this? You ever do that as a parent, as a friend, as a family? The king answered and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation alarm you. Belshazzar answered and said, my lord, may the dream be for those who hate you and its interpretation for your enemies. Daniel knew what the dream meant. Now you hear what he said. He knew the dream and he goes like this, listen, I wish this wasn't about you. I wish this had nothing to do with you. I wish it wasn't what's going on in your life. I wish I didn't have to give you this news. Do you get the picture here? I like that. Why don't you underline that whole phrase? Because I think that's really, really important. See, when we're going to have a confrontation, that approach is big. You know? Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, you're the one that kidnapped me. You're the one that made me a slave in this city. You're the one that's against me. So now it's my time to get back. You're going to burn, baby. He didn't do that. Daniel goes, listen, I wish I didn't have to tell you this. I'm no better than you. I'm no different than you. We're both in the same place. We're struggling to get through life. Yeah, you've prospered, but listen, I really don't want to tell you this. I see a little compassion here, don't you? You get there. He has this bad news to tell the king. King, you're in trouble. King, you made a bed and you're going to sleep in it pretty soon. But you know what? I wish I didn't have to tell you this. See, some people love confrontation because they get to straighten the people out. I finally get to tell them the truth. I've been waiting to straighten them out. Anybody? Anybody ever had that happen to you? Yeah. They just want to, I'm going to fix them now. No, I think that phrase, you know, as King, I really wish it wasn't about you. I wish it had nothing to do with you. I wish this was something that you didn't have to face. But he tells the king, look at verse 22. It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong. Your greatness has grown and reaches to heaven, and your dominion to the ends of the earth. King, I didn't want to tell you. King, I wish I didn't have to tell you this, but you know what? This is about you. It's not about your kingdom. It's not about some second-rate person. It's about you. And it's not good. But I have to say something. Do you get the picture? I think there's some great wisdom here as he's dealing with this. And so he begins to talk to the king. And look at what he says here. This is the meaning, your majesty. You see how he's respecting him? You got to catch this. There's a lot of little good stuff here. I don't want to tell you this. I wish it was about somebody else, but it's about you. All right. Now, majesty, he's still showing respect, still showing the honor. The Most High and decided to apply it to you. God has a message for you. Your Majesty, You will be forced away from people and live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. The dew from the sky will make you wet. And seven time periods will pass until you realize that the Most High has power over human kingdoms and that he gives them to whomever he wishes. Since I said that the stump and the tree roots were to be left, your kingdom will be restored to you as soon as you realize that heaven rules. You get the picture, King? This is bad news. For seven periods of time, we're going to say 7 years, let's say 7 years, things are going to go bad for you. It is not good. Things are going to go bad. Here's the interpretation, King, for 7 years. Excuse me. But at the end of 7 years, the tree root was not rooted out. We didn't pull the tree root out. We didn't destroy the tree root. It's going to come back. You're going to get a chance. It doesn't end here. You get the picture? We confront to destroy. God's confronting to renew. Get it? You catch it? So you're going to make it through this. When you realize who's in charge. See, when we know who's in charge, does life go better? You know, when we step back and realize that God has everything in his hands, does life go better? That's what he's telling the king. King, this is about you. And when you quit building your own kingdom and you quit building your life that you think is so glorious and great, you're prosperous, you're comfortable, you're content. Let's talk about content. You know, you're having this great life. When you realize life ain't about you and you realize there's a God in heaven, it's going to go better. But the kingdom you built is going down right now. Now, just to give you a little insight here, look what he says. Because that's all the king asked for. Now, you pay attention here. All the king asked for was, what does the dream mean? What does the dream mean? Tell me what the dream means. He did. Here's what the dream means. But this is why. This is why, Your Majesty, my best advice. Do you get it? I love it. My best advice. King, you have all this. Now, here's your dream. But let me tell you what you need to do about it. All right. Here's my best advice. Underline this. Stop sinning and do what is right. Sounds pretty simple. Stop sinning and do what's right. Hey, can you guys say that with me? You guys ready? Remember, we did. I count to three and you repeat, right? You guys? We've done this in the past. Don't fail me, all right? If you don't do it right the first time, we'll do it a second time. Matter of fact, we'll do it until we get it right. How's that? You ready? We're going to repeat this. Stop sinning and do what's right. You got it? Underline it. One, two, three. Stop sinning and do what is right. All right. That's God's advice. That's what he's saying. Stop committing the same errors and have pity on the poor. Stop sinning and do what's right. Maybe you can prolong your prosperity. You get the picture? Come back to God's way and let God bless you. You know what's amazing? The king blows it off. I got this. Anybody ever talk to a teenager? Anybody? You tell them, you know, you better think about this. My advice is this. But you know what? They got it. You know, when I was a teenager, I was a lot smarter than I was now. I knew everything when I was a teenager. Anybody? When I was younger, I had all the answers. Nobody needed to tell me anything. As a matter of fact, I didn't like anybody telling me anything. Yeah. This king, I've got this. Here's what I want to tell you. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's somebody at school or somebody at work. Sometimes you're going to say, listen, you're on the wrong path and you're making some poor decisions and you have some poor choices. And they're not going to listen. And what's interesting to me, he didn't listen for 1 year. He didn't listen for 2 years. Can you guess how many years he didn't listen? Seven. You guys are right. Somebody that he said it. He didn't listen for 7 years. I don't know about you raising my kids. I want them to listen tomorrow. I tell you today, you do it tomorrow, right? Yeah. It took 7 years for this king to get it. Anybody got a hard head like mine? Some of you know my prayer. Some of you have heard me pray this. God, I'll learn with the 2x4. I don't need a 4x4. Anybody? You know, God, I want to learn fast. It took this king 7 years. It took him 7 years to get it. It's like, Daniel had it. Why didn't he? You know. Now, it's easy to look at others, and I don't know about you, but I can see what others are doing. I learn fast, right? So I want us to think about this for a minute. How do we handle confrontation? How do we stand up in the right way, at the right time, for the right reasons? How do we do it? Whether it's one of our children, maybe a family member, you know, maybe the child, anybody ever worry about the finances of your children? Anybody you worry about, you know, are they being good stewards? And, you know, it's like, man, my kids, yeah, making poor choices. Or maybe you got that, you know those Christmas getaway. Maybe it was a 4th of July party, you know, and you got that relative you have to invite that you really don't want to invite, huh? You know, because you know when they get there, they're not the most pleasant one to be around. You know, so how do we deal with, you know, how can we deal with that? I remember my sister got married. Just kind of give you a little thing. My mom, when I was raised, my mom and dad, my mom didn't drink. But as my mom got older, she started drinking. And my mom's passed away, and you need to know I honor my mom. She was made some poor choices. I don't think there's anybody perfect. And I love my mom, and I still miss her. Anybody know what I'm talking about when you miss a loved one like that? You know. But my sister's getting married. And like I said, my mom began drinking too much. And so guess what my sister told me to do? I had to have the confrontation. You know, the big brother, the oldest in the family, anybody? You got to go talk to mom. And you got to tell mom, don't drink too much at the wedding. And so I said to my mom, and mom, sister's getting married, my sister's getting married. You can't drink much, mom. And I told my mom, yeah, you just can't drink much. We're sitting at the reception. And I'm just sitting there. I did that months before the wedding. I didn't say a word. I'm sitting there. Hard times, man. You know, it's hard talking to mom. Anybody? And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and I'm looking around the audience and just watching people. I'm a people watcher. And my eyes catch my mom, and my mom's in the line for a drink. She looks at me, and I look at her, never said a word. We just made eye contact. She gets out of line, walks over there, sits down, and says, it's my first one. I didn't say a word. But it goes on from there. Guess what? My mom has a 50th birthday party. Guess who didn't get invited to a 50th birthday party for their mother? Not because I was going to say anything. You know, when the preacher sits there, people feel guilty. Yeah, it's just, I don't have to say anything. I just show up and things change. You know, on a golf course, oh, you're a preacher? I'm sorry. Not another word out of them. I don't have to say a word. That's confrontation for me is easy sometimes. It's hard having those conversations. How do we do it? You know, how do I talk to my child? How do I talk to my neighbor? How do we do it? So I put it this way. Prayerful confrontation, it says there at the top of the little outline there. Because I'm going to tell you, prayerful. Circle that word, prayerful. You got to pray. You got to pray. You got to spend some time. It grows out of a relationship. God, I'm going to give you a little hint. No one here has the discernment of God to correct everybody. Anybody got that one? No one here has been given the gift of correcting everybody. Now, God has laid people on our hearts that we may need to talk to, that we need to speak to. How do we do that? So here's what I want to look at. Paul has some great words. Look what Paul wrote to the church in Galatia. The church is in Galatia. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, any sin, whatever the battle is, finances, sexual, lying, stealing, whatever it is, any of those. You who are godly should, and again, you might want to underline this, gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. Gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. Underline all of that. There's some good words in there. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. He's saying, listen, let me give you some instructions. When there's a hard confrontation, when you got to say some of the hard things to someone, when you know it's a marriage and you got to say some of the hard things, I feel hurt, how do I say it? Humbly and gently help the person. I think this is really, really key. And so I put it this way, if you're looking at your outline, God, help us to confront with a goal of restoration. The goal is not to straighten them out. The goal is not to tell them they're wrong, you're right. If they just do it your way, their life's going to be okay. That's not the goal. The goal is restoration, to get them back on the right path, to get them where God wants them, maybe not where you want them. This is what Daniel did. He had the courage to do it. Look at how Paul says it again. Gently and humbly help that person back on to the path. I want you to circle, if I can talk gently and humbly, you can circle those. But I think that word help is key. And I say it this way in this church, and I've said it many times. Help means more than just tell them. Help means walk with them. You get the picture? If you're not willing to walk with somebody through a problem, don't tell them what the problem is. I want you to hear me. If you're not willing to walk with somebody who's battling something in their life, don't sit there and tell them what they need to do if you're not willing to walk with them to help it happen. You see what he said? Gently and humbly help them. Be with them. Walk with them. I've walked through battles. I've got a phone call at night. Picked somebody I know up at the San Joaquin jail who got picked up on prostitution that my wife and I know. Pick them up at the jailhouse. Offer to take them to my house, which they do not want to go. And I drop them off at 3 in the morning in downtown Stockton where they got picked up at. Had to do what Daniel did with Nebuchadnezzar. I can't fix them. But I told her, we'll help you. We'll go to our house. You can stay with us. We'll get you back on your feet. They didn't want it. Are we willing to help? If you're going to confront somebody, you got some words to say. Are we willing to help? My marriage is messed up. I'm struggling with my marriage. They need counseling. Let me give you a little hint. If you're in a marriage and they need counseling, there's a problem. Because you need it too. Counseling is just not a one-way street. Anybody on board with this one? You know, if they got a problem, I hate to tell you, in my marriage, if Laura's got a problem, I know where the problem is, and it's not with Laura. And you guys know that. You guys have been with me for a long time. You know, if there's a problem in Gary's marriage, where's the problem? I'm going to lose. Yeah, see, somebody's going to say it. I'm going to lose because you guys are all going to side with Laura. You know, Gary's the one that needs fixing. Yeah. See, that's what I mean. We got to help. You know, if Laura needs counseling, I need counseling. We need it. That help. I got to walk with somebody. See, lovingly confrontation. Walking with them. The goal is to restore them. The goal is to help them get back on the right path. To help them be where God wants them to be. Motives matter. Reasons matter. Approach matters. Gently and humbly help them. There's some powerful words in that. I don't have time to keep going with that, but walk with them. You're not loading your gun up. Okay, who's sinning now? Yeah, I'm going to take them out. Yeah. How about this next one here? I put it this way. God, help me confront with caution. Paul ended that passage with this. Be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Let me give you a little hint here. Usually what I don't like in someone else is something I'm struggling with in me. Anybody? Usually what I don't like in somebody else is many times a great battle in me. It's a great struggle in me. And so I got to be careful. You know, the first thing when I see something, I got to have a conversation. God, is there something for me that I need to do with this first? You know, God, is there something here that I need to take care of first? You know, I got to be careful. You know, I take this be careful in two ways. One, is it the same sin that I got to worry about, or what sin am I dealing with? And God's pointing this out. Because I don't know about you guys, but I got blind spots. Anybody got blind spots? For me, it's so easy to see everybody else's sins. Man, I can see everybody else's sins. I'm just practically perfect. Mary Poppins and me are just buddy-buddy. You know? I got to be careful. I got to be careful. You know? I can fall into... Maybe it can be a sin of ego. Anybody? A sin of pride? You know? One of the amazing things for me... And I've been driving for a number... I've been driving since I was 15 and a half. And I really didn't realize my problem with driving and the stupid people on the road. You notice how he said that? Is my pride? It's a pride issue. Because I know how to drive and they don't. If they would just drive like me, we'd be okay. I didn't realize that was a pride issue. I just thought it was an anger issue. See? We battle these things. It's so easy to see it in others. I like this passage that Jesus said here. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take that speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Be careful. You know, God, what am I dealing with? Is this something I need to pay attention to? Or is it just something for them? Maybe we're both dealing with it and we need to walk through it together. Maybe I'm going to be their partner. Maybe they're going to be my partner. Yeah. You hear me in this church? I've said this and I really mean this. You need three things in your life to make it through life on the high path. If you want the high road, there's three things. You need a church. Remember? You need a small group. My group's meeting tomorrow. Our books aren't here. Who's in my group? We're meeting tomorrow no matter what. We're going to meet. We'll talk about, we're going to do prayer in my group. We're going to meet no matter what. We'll talk about the Sermon on the Mount since we're talking about prayer. We'll start right there. Hopefully the books will get here tomorrow morning. Stop. We're going to still have Bible study. You need a Bible study group. You need a small group. And you need somebody who can say the hard things to you. There's things I don't want to hear. Anybody? Don't tell me what's wrong with me. I know what's wrong with me. I don't need you to tell me. Anyway, come on now. You know, you need those three things in our life, and if we're going to survive, you know, because it's so easy to see the other stuff and to miss us. And so I want to encourage you. Confront prayerfully. The goal is restoration. Not to be in your image, not to be like you, but to be like God. To be like God and confront carefully. Because I believe this, I am one slippery step away from any sin in this world. You need to know that. I don't know if Evie paid any attention to yesterday, but it was really funny. I'm sitting there, and we had dinner afterwards, and I go sit in the office. I don't know if Evie caught this. She might have did it on purpose. I don't know, but I appreciate it. You know where I'm going, don't you, Evie? I'm sitting in the office, and I'm sitting there with a young lady. Not in my office, but in the conference room. And everybody else is outside. And I'm sitting in the conference room. You know my rule about getting in the car and everything? And I'm sitting in the conference room. We go in there to have lunch, and Evie comes in and gets some stuff and leaves, and comes in and gets some stuff and leaves. Then she comes in and slides the curtain open. Now, this girl is like a daughter to me, okay? But you know what? I have high standards. And Evie, I appreciate that. I don't know if you did it on purpose or even crossed your mind, but it meant something to me. Because I, it's like my kid. It's like, but I want to be above reproach. And I'm glad Evie had the courage to do that. I don't know if she did it on purpose or not. You guys can ask her. But I appreciate that. Because I'm still learning, guys. I'm still fighting. Like I say, Megan's a daughter to me. She's my kid. I buy her candy at Disneyland, don't I? Yeah. You know? But I got to be careful. I want to challenge you guys. It's so easy to see others and to miss us. And I can just let things slip through my mind. I'm dense. I need that 4x4 sometimes. You know? So do you have that in your life? Now, don't load your gun up. Who are you going to go shoot? Don't do that. God didn't call anyone. You know, I've had somebody, you need to know, I've had somebody, God gave me the gift of discernment, and I got to straighten people out. I've had somebody tell me that, and it broke my heart. You know, I share a message like this, and what's sad to me is we as Christians are known for what we are against and not what we're for. I'm for God, guys. I'm for God. I'm for God. I'm for His word, His standard, His will, His way. I'm for God. I'm not against anybody. I love everybody. And those who know me, you know that. I love every. I don't care who they are. I don't care what decisions they've made. I don't care what choices they've made. If somebody calls me, go visit somebody. When AIDS first came out, somebody said, Gary, would you go visit somebody with AIDS? And they it was just, I mean, it just came out in the first year. They don't know how it spread. They didn't have all the answers yet. Somebody says, Gary, would you go visit somebody with AIDS? You know what I said? I said, yes. I'll go pray with them. I'll be there. I don't know. I'm for God. I'm not against anybody. And it's sad that the church is known for what we're against. I would hate to see our church become, we're just chewing away at everybody. So I share this message to encourage us. I'm going to tell you right here, I want this church to walk with you through whatever's going on in your life. I want to tell you, as pastor of this church, whatever's going on, wherever you're at, I'll walk with you. You want to know about homosexuality? Go back and listen to a sermon I preached not long ago. Laid it all out. Made it as plain, as simple as I can. I think there's a great, you know, I'm not one of these great preachers, but I think there's a great message in that, all right? You want to know about abortion? I preached a message on abortion. I thought it was a great message. Laid it all out. It's not about that abortion. We need to help these young ladies that are making some choices that they really don't want to make. I've never seen somebody be excited. I'm going to get an abortion. I've never seen that. We need to step alongside of people and be there. We need to walk with people. Our goal is restoration. So I want to encourage you. It might take 7 years. 7 years. Look at what happened. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes toward heaven. At the end of the 7 years, it took 7 years. I think that's bigger than a 4x4, all right? And my reason returned to me. It finally dawned on me. You ever have anybody? The light finally went on. You know? And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion. And His kingdom endures for generations to generations. You get the picture? Walk with them. Be with them. You might have to walk with somebody 7 years through a mess. And you know what? That's okay. Will you do it? Will you walk through somebody's mess for 7 years? Because if you just want to tell them, it's not going to work. You got to walk with them. I want to encourage you. Who will you walk with? I'll be honest with you. As a pastor, I think Facebook has some great things. Somebody's got a birthday. You know, it's nice to say Happy B-Day. That's what I put. If I see your thing, I'll put Happy B-Day for you. You know, I think it's great for that kind of stuff. But the other garbage I read on there, get off of it. All right? Say, hey, here's a picture of me. Here's what I had for breakfast. I'm bad. I take pictures of my meals. I can show you pictures of what I had at Disneyland. Do you guys know that? I didn't post it, though. Huh? You see, you know, I'm not that bad. Yeah, but I do. I take, you know, post fun stuff. If you got something to say, if you're not willing to walk with them, I'm going to be mean, all right? Shut up. Keep your mouth shut. If you're not willing to walk with someone who's battling battles in their life, keep your mouth shut. Is that fair? Am I being fair? Yeah. Step in. Walk with them. When they're making poor decisions, you know what? I'm going to be there to pick them up every time. You know, that person I dropped back off on downtown site, you know, if they called me today and said, Gary, can you pick me? You know where I'd go? My wife and I would get in the car, and we'd go pick them up. I'd be there. Will you walk with someone? It might take a lifetime. There's family members that break our hearts. You know, get-togethers. There's work environments. There's school struggles. There's kids. There's even parents. Will you walk with them? Will you walk with them? Prayful, restore. Prayerfully, carefully, check it out. Will you walk with them? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truth, that you're a merciful God. Lord, we all fall short. None of us are perfect. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Your word declares it, and we see it every day. And if we're honest with ourselves, we admit it, that we all fall short. Thank you that you're a loving, merciful God. But God, you also called us to walk through life with one another. You established a church. You've given us small groups. And you blessed us with friends who can say the hard things to us. Lord, thank you for being a merciful and gracious God. In the midst of our battles, you will lift us up. You will strengthen us and encourage us. You know, as we're praying, our heads are bowed. Maybe there's some battles. Maybe you're struggling with some conflict. Maybe you need to talk to someone. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a parent. Like, I've spoken with my parent, my mom. Maybe it's another relative. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's at school. I don't know. Maybe there's a confrontation you need to have, and you need to prayerfully consider how to do it. With our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, you want me to pray for you? Just shoot your hand up, and I'll pray for you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Lord, you've seen the lifted up hands of those who need to have a tough conversation. Lord, we don't know how. Like Daniel, we can be dismayed trying to figure out what to say and how to say it. But Lord, give us wisdom. Let us see the goal is not to correct and not to straighten out, but our goal is to restore them to the path of righteousness. Not even the path we feel like should be on, not even the path that they should be on. But Lord, give these wisdom and knowledge to prayerfully confront, to restore, to carefully lead down that path. Help them walk with them, Lord, through the mess. It's not always comfortable. It's not always easy. Help them reassure the person that it's not about the correct thing to do or the right thing to do. It's about we're going to move through life together. So equip them and encourage them and strengthen them. Lord, as Daniel walked for 7 years, it must have been heartbreaking and dismayed to watch the country go down, to watch the things go. As we watch our family, our friends, and those that are close make those wrong choices, Lord, help us have the courage to say, stop sinning and do what's right, and to walk with them and not just speak words that can hurt. In Jesus' name, amen. I close with this. One day,